Red Door!
The Empire strikes back with multiple laser attacks. Decepticon infiltration, stealing information, tapping communication with Recordicons, target masses, sound wave stereo. I don't believe in a no-win scenario for an epic adventure. No retreat, no surrender. Cleaning up the city with Mayor Mike Hagar, clashing with the Foot Clan in the shadows of the streetlights, spotlights, bright lights. And if you've got a new pet, don't feed him after midnight. Cruising on our bicycles, we never say die. From the attic to the basement, uncovering the secrets with the power bracelet. Ryu and Ken style, kicking it on the pavement, 88 miles per hour, we at a time. Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.
Welcome to Meanwhile at Warp Zone. We are having a special podcast today because, I don't know, everybody loves Harry Potter and that's what we're going to talk about. We have a few people that we're also filming at the same time. It's we got Amy and Jen and then also Carrie with some kind of tarp, something on your head. Say hello to the nice people, Amy and Jen, if you want to. You don't have to, if you don't want to.
Hello to the nice people.
Hello.
But I don't know. Carrie, what did we want to talk about first? I guess I'm supposed to have a question, which I do not. Here. Let's tailor it towards Harry Potter and just say this. What's your favorite Harry Potter? Book or movie, whatever. Don't all jump in once.
Do you girls have to think about it for a minute?
Well, no, I was talking about mine. The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, I see that. Why is that?
I really like Sirius Black. He's one of my favorite characters. And Professor Lupin.
Do you think the movie was good enough? Like, did it encompass the book enough?
I think all the movies are pretty damn on point for being, you know, for there being books first. But they're obviously not as good as the books, but yeah. I can't diss on any of the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. They're the only things that I've seen because I'll just tell you when it was like, I don't know, I was after high school and my sister had read all the Harry Potter books and she's like, you should read these books. And I'm like, okay. So I spent, I don't know, maybe like 10, 20 minutes reading the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 pages in the first one. And I don't know if it was just youthful.
It is. The first one
just
is.
Just being rebellious and just being like, I can't do this.
I can't read this.
It's very, I mean, it's geared for, the first book is very young.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very young.
Compared to the next ones, it's definitely the, like,
childhood.
The visuals of the first two movies are the only complaints that I would have about that stuff is like those early movies, they really suffer visually.
See, in the
go back
the,
to that first
I like
movie.
The first one. The first movie was awesome. It had
it
all
had
this
some
new
bad
stuff,
CG in it.
Some...
The CG I'm talking about, not any like the, you know, practical effects. It's just the CG.
Wait, what's CG?
Is it CG. Like the
computer-generated graphics.
Oh.
Like,
I mean, but
like,
room.
Well, like, year did it come out? Like,
I understand.
It was like 90, wasn't it? 90? Oh no, it was 2000.
It was early 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it before September 11th? I don't know why that's relevant. But
2001.
2001, okay, good to know. How about you, Amy?
I would have to say my favorite book would probably be The Deathly Hallows, just because it wraps everything up really nicely. Movies, it's hard. Like, I really like The Prisoner of Azkaban, too, but it's the longest book, and it's the shortest movie. So
oh, really?
That is, like, it. There was a lot of disappointing things in it that, you know, I feel like was missed. So, I don't know. Movie-wise.
What? I'm sorry. What about, because I think what happened, Azkaban had the time travel, right?
Yes. The time turn.
Okay. The time, whatever. they were traveling back in time. Okay, I'm just gonna say my brain worked. I think I thought it was a really strong movie until the time travel wasn't interesting enough for me. I don't know. It was like, oh, okay, they get to watch what they did, but that was kind of it. And there was a little interaction with their older selves, right? Like they threw a rock or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he had thought his father was the one that made the Patronus, and it was actually himself.
Oh, okay.
So that was, that's sort of interesting because I remember like reading the book and like bawling my eyes out, like him being so excited that it was his father and then finding out it was himself. So
because it made you think that maybe
but
his parents, they didn't show up yet. They show up later, right?
They're dead.
But I mean,
yeah,
they don't show up as good. Isn't there like
they show up as sort of ghost in the last one whenever he puts on the resurrection ring, I do believe it's called, right, Jen?
Okay. So they actually make no appearance at all, right, until then?
Just his memories.
Yeah, and flashback. Okay.
Pictures?
Yeah. Pictures, yeah, so moving pictures.
And the mirror. Why am I drawing a blank on a mirror?
Yeah, the mirror. Oh, yeah.
Shows you what you want?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember what it's called, but I know it's
Mirror
what it
of Irisad or something.
I always love that joke in the first one where it's not Gandalf. What's his name?
No, I'm drawing a blank.
What's his name? Is that it?
Keeps yelling Gryffindor, and I was gonna yell that.
I like the joke. If you go down this certain hallway in this certain place, and it's like this super long description, he's like, you will die a horrible, miserable death. And then that's it. Like that was all that's spoken of it. And there's no way anybody could have remembered where the hallway that he was talking about. And I thought it was just the best joke, but nobody can remember it apparently. Cause you guys are just staring at me like I'm an idiot. I thought it was hilarious. And there will be, one of our 30 listeners will know what I'm talking about.
I'm sure. Sorry, Scott. I didn't talk
whatever.
About
it. Nobody remembers the good parts. But I don't know. How about you, Carrie?
I was going to go with Goblet of Fire. Like I thought there was just a lot of different things going on in it, so it was semi-interesting because of the different events and whatnot, the dragging, the finding out the clues of what the event, the trick to the event is and whatnot, and then, like, the one, there was like a capsule that when they opened, what was it? It was they opened that container and it was like just screeching.
Isn't it the goblet?
No.
I know.
I'm asking you.
They're not paying attention.
Sorry, no. Somebody was running through.
They open something and it just makes like a screeching noise and then they have to put it underwater and listen to it.
I have no idea what it's called, but
I don't know.
But I was asking what it was. Like, was it like it was like some.
It was like a clue, wasn't it?
I think it was
the container. Is what I mean. Like, was it like a cylinder?
It's part of the triathlon, right? They had to figure something out, and nobody figured out that you had to put it underwater to be able to hear or something.
I was just trying to remember what the shape of it was. I don't know what.
Wasn't it an egg?
It was an egg. Okay. Yeah, that's all I mean. Like, I'm not worried about the name of it or anything. I was just trying to think what the item was.
What it was.
Yes.
Yeah, he takes it into the bath to listen to it.
Yeah, he's got to, like,
moaning myrtle.
Underwater.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
So it's just, like, he had, like, a clue to it, and then, like, the event itself was, like, And then there was that was kind of, like, a horrific one. Like, dude gets killed.
Yeah. Yeah, Cedric Diggory.
That's why it's disturbing that it's your favorite.
It's in, like, you have, like, the shine. You have the shining, hedge maze that they kill the kid in.
Well, and it's the first, like, real appearance of Voldemort.
Oh, yeah.
Because before that, he's just sort of...
before that... Read the book,
It's like, you get to see Noseless Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Like just a couple stages away from Skeletor. And
they really borrowed heavily from
this movie is like Empire Strikes Back of the Harry Potter series.
There you go.
You got like
it is, people. It's midway, villains, right?
Villains are on top. You know, they're like, oh, we're gonna wreck some stuff up.
Nobody believes them.
Harry Potter loses his hand. No, that didn't happen. Like,
Voldemort's like, I'm your father.
Oh man. My nose looks just like my penis. There's nothing there. So I guess I have to probably agree with the whoever said Deathly Hallows because, and of course I'm just going directly from the movies because I obviously don't read or something, and I just thought it was super emotional and everybody in the movie did amazing, like you know, what's her name and what's his name.
Just like, those ones.
Emma Watson and what's it, Daniel Radcliffe. I thought they did terrific. I don't think Daniel Radcliffe can dance. I don't know if anybody remembers that scene where they're dancing and he's just.
Yeah.
He's probably on coke at the time, so he's just like.
Have you guys seen that meme of him?
A lot of spins.
Where he's got those eyes bugging out of his head.
Yes.
What does it usually say?
You want any magic?
And his eyes are just bulging out of his head.
It's like in the back of a taxi, and he's like this. And it's like, but I thought, and you know, of course, and I don't think it like any of it could have been cut out. Like I know it was two movies, but I thought like I never got bored of the whole thing, and the whole trying to get away, like. Constantly jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping. That was pretty intense and crazy. And the end was crazy with him seeing Dumbledore and stuff. And spoiler, I guess. I don't know. But
if somebody hasn't watched the stuff by now, then they should be making a podcast about it.
There's many different mediums that they can check this out on. So
it's pretty well out there at this point.
I'm sure one of our 30 haven't. You know, I don't know. They probably have all seen it.
Oh.
They've heard about us. So, who is your favorite character then?
I have a hard time picking my favorite character because, like Jen, I also really liked Sirius, but then like he's got some bad things to him, and J.K. does a great job at like showing you that people they do have a great part to them, but then they can also have a little bit of evil to them. Because, like, he pretty much kicks Creature, the house elf. And, you know, like, nobody really says anything to him. He's just, you know, like, oh, it's just a house elf sort of thing.
There ain't people like you and me.
So.
Go back from where you came.
It's like, he's treating somebody that's below him terribly. And
it's Creature, though. I mean.
Yeah, he's not a great house elf. But he also doesn't treat Sirius well.
Is that Dobby? Are you talking about Dobby?
No, Creature's okay. Sirius's house elf.
Oh, okay.
They're like owned by wealthy or not wealthy magic families. Like they're passed down through magic families.
It's their little mythical creature slaves.
Yeah,
just like dick too.
Just
though.
Like I mean, Dobby is like one of those, right?
But Dobby's like sweet and nice. Until he tries to sabotage Harry just to keep him out of trouble. But Creature's like a dickhead.
Yeah. But was Creature always... Creature was good to Sirius's mother.
Yeah.
Was she nice to him as opposed
to... Hey, maybe there's some backstory where Creature... Maybe Sirius walked in and Creature was getting too friendly with Sirius. Yeah.
And then he's also terrible to stop.
I think that's why I like Sirius, though, that he was, like, not all bad, not all good, and he's kind of a badass dude.
He's sort of a bully, though. Like, I love him for, like, the father figure that he could be for Harry, but he's sort of...
But then he's gone.
Yeah, like...
I think he's a psycho, and that's why I like him so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, like, so my other favorite character would probably be Molly Weasley. Because if I could cook and clean with magic, I would do that shit all day long.
Every day.
Every day. Like, whoop-doot-doot. done.
But she seemed like she was always doing something, though. I mean,
yeah, but that was
is this the mom? This is the mom, right?
She was looking ass raising billions.
She was always like,
yeah,
cleaning something.
Yeah, but if
she's just like busy fending off Mr. Weasley. Yeah,
probably.
No more children.
Like, after.
Get away from me.
And she so, also had to deal with Fred and George, who were mischievous and, like, you know, ruin everything. So if they were constantly tearing up my house, I'd probably be going crazy, too.
Poor Molly.
Yeah.
How about you, Carrie? Who's your favorite?
I would probably have to go with Hagrid.
Yeah, I see that.
I like the large oafish type people.
I love his, like...
It's like a reflection of myself in them. Like, I could see myself living in a little shack being Hagrid.
Being accused of murder, but still allowed around children.
Yeah. Cool. They don't have a DOE there, I guess. Who cares? It's all right.
Guy that just lives in a shed behind the school. Kind of a teacher.
It's cool. It's cool.
Cool.
He never really murdered anybody. They just think that he murdered.
About it.
They really thought you did it, but you didn't.
He was set up.
I'm pretty sure even if you're accused, if you're not even really murdered somebody, you just don't work there anymore.
Don't work there anymore. Yeah, he just wasn't a team player after the murder thing.
Yeah, he didn't do it, but, you know, he
just had that
accused of murder, so that's obviously being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We need somebody better than that. Just not be convicted of murder or something. I don't know. But how about you, Jim?
Murder me.
Aside from Sirius... And I really like Professor Lupin for the same reasons. He's a werewolf and he's like pretty much a crazy person, but yet he's really gentle. And I like the way he's just like when they introduce him, he's just like pass the fuck out on the train.
Yeah. They think he's like some drunk.
Yeah, like some poor guy.
And then who's this oboe?
Mentor's ass. So I was thinking about like girly characters, and I think I'd want to be Nymphadora Tonks, so I could change my hair color.
Which one is that? Is that
they don't really portray.
She's the wife of the werewolf guy.
Yeah,
I barely remember the werewolf guy.
Yeah, they showed her for maybe like 5 minutes in the movies altogether.
Yeah, it's in like the beginning of.
She's in Order of the Phoenix, and she's in Deathly Hallows.
They had her wand at the Universal Store, Jen Watson.
Damn, I would have told you to pick one up for me. I wasn't even thinking about Tonks whenever I was thinking about the podcast, and I was like,
Next time I go, I'll call you and you let me know if you want one.
Yeah, I definitely will want Tonks. That's a cool looking wand.
Well, they had Beatrix as well. I know you had said that one also.
Bellatrix.
Oh, yeah.
Bellatrix, come on.
You know, Beatrix.
Beatrix.
Beatrix kiddo, you know.
You know, Tim
Burton. Sam Harris.
Tim Burton's common-law wife.
No, not anymore. They divorced.
I know. They were never married, I don't
know. They got divorced.
They split up.
Yeah, I don't think they never got married, I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't think they did either.
That was the common-law joke. That was the point.
Not funny.
It's common law. It's just the law, Carrie. It's not funny. It's just law. The truth.
I just envision him in like the wife beater. Like, did you guys ever see that? Did you ever see that Saturday Night Live where, what was that presidential candidate that he was accused of never blinking? Steve Forbes?
What?
That I'm talking about?
I don't remember
about?
That. No.
Like, yeah, they said, like, you watch every interview he ever did, and it's like he doesn't blink during the whole duration of the interview.
I think that sounds about right. Steve Forbes didn't seem to blink.
They had him on SNL, and he was, like, in a skit where they were, like, roofing. And he was, like, you know, like, talking about having to move out for a couple months to dodge common law.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Just don't want to get married. Just can't put that ring on. So I guess, I don't know. I kind of like Sirius Black too, but I can't say that now because everybody likes him. I don't know. And the thing is, like, even throughout the whole series, like, he just never felt right. But, like, I always knew there was more to him. But what's the guy who Snape, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I always knew there was something, like, you just know. Like, the whole,
Alan.
The whole time, yeah. The whole time, you're just, I don't know, you're like, oh, they're just trying way too hard to make this guy look like a bad guy, and you know there's more, and even at, and they really keep it going throughout the whole series, like, they really keep you guessing, and even when you think, oh, he might be good, but then something else happens, and he's like, I don't know, but I just love, and I really was rooting for him. Like, that was my thing. I was like, oh, I hope he's not as awful as he looks.
Hans Gruber, you get that money. Nakatomi Tower doesn't have a chance.
Not with Shoot that on Asian his side.
He had to be so young in that, didn't he? Like, how old was he? It was like 80-something. I'm going to look at it right now.
I'm going to say 87 or 88.
Oh, man. Anybody else have any guesses for when Die Hard came out?
I'm guessing 89.
No guesses.
88.
You gave two numbers. It doesn't count.
I did give two numbers.
Which numbers did you give?
I said 87 or 88.
Oh, man. What's Alan Rickman.
I would have still won by Price is Right rules.
Did you close the spot going over?
So she said 89.
So he was...
Even if I was...
Okay. He was born in 1946.
He was also... I can't think of the character's name from the Robin Hood movie with...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the sheriff in Nottingham.
Nottingham. Yes.
Yeah, he's always good at playing a bad guy.
Yeah.
I like him in Quest.
He was 42. 42? Is that right? He was 1946. Yes, in 1946. Is that 1946? That seems right, right? 1988.
Yeah.
42. Yeah, he's 42.
That's
holy cow.
That's really crazy because he looks really
like
young in that.
10 years old now.
He's 70 years old.
Wow.
That is nuts, and he is so active.
He looks so young in the Harry Potter movies, even.
Yeah, I would never guess that that's how old he was.
Man, 42.
He probably does have a little bit of magic if he looks that young. That's just crazy.
I eat elves for dinner.
And going back to, like, Sirius, he's played by Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
He's an amazing actor.
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
I think he did a really good job with him.
There's movies that I've watched, you know, in my youth that, like, I didn't realize until my adulthood that it was him. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I did not know he was the villain from Fifth Element when I was a kid. I didn't realize that was the same dude that's Dracula as, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
So many different roles, and he really kind of, like... Yeah.
Look at him doing...
He does that pill thing.
Yeah.
Look at him doing...
How does he feel it already? I don't even understand. He hasn't even swallowed the pill.
Commissioner Gordon, and he would have done Sirius at the same... Like, around the same time... And he looks completely different in both of them. He looks really young and serious, and as Commissioner Gordon, he looks honestly pretty old. He looks worn and everything else. He does a great job at, like, changing who he is.
He's Drexel.
Yeah. What the fudge is a Drexel?
Drexel's my pimp. Jen Watson, if you have not watched it.
Oh, my gosh.
She's watched Fifth
True
Up.
Romance.
No, True Romance.
Oh, True Romance.
Yes.
With Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette.
Oh, everybody's Harry in
it. Sirius Black.
Christopher Walken. James Gandolfini.
Oh, my God. Christopher Walken, that scene. Eggplant.
Egg.
That makes you an eggplant.
But even like the Sopranos guy, he was he had a pretty memorable scene, and he's in it. That's it. That's all. His whole scene is like 10 minutes, and it's pretty memorable to say the least. But you should definitely check out. He is. You should check out True Romance. Anybody who's listening, and Jen Watson, if you have not seen it.
Okay.
Just to give you a little more background on that movie, it was a script that Tarantino wrote to fund Reservoir Dogs. Am I correct on that information, Mr. Scott?
Yeah, probably. I think I've heard that.
So like, that's why he didn't direct it. He wrote it to fund another movie.
And he didn't like how it ended. Like, they changed the ending. Somebody died that...
Let's do the Scooby-Doo ending!
Somebody died in his script that they cut out because...
One of the main characters, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, and I listened to the talking during the movie thing, and he's like, I don't like the ending that they did, but, you know, I feel like it works for how Tony Scott directed it, because it's like a, what's the word? It's like a fairy tale, like a super violent fairy tale, but, you know, it was a, you know, with the music and stuff, like those, I don't even know what you call those, like xylophone type.
Yeah, it's the same song that they keep playing over and over in 51st Dates. What's the name of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That's what it is.
Is it? Okay. But I know it's like, it's even
it's like a Calypso version or something, yeah. You know what I mean? It's got
it's
the...
It's very, like high-pitched, like, you know, innocent sounding score to the whole movie, and it's got this horrible things happening, but he says it works with how, but if he had directed it, it would have worked. And I'm like, I still don't think it would have worked. I would have been pretty upset if this person died. So that's just my opinion though.
So what was, other than just not liking the, just deciding that you were not going to read the books, have you ever decided that maybe you'd pick them up again, Scott?
I feel like I should. I definitely read a lot. And the thing that I'm so weird about reading, because I got this huge collection from an unknown place that I'm not going to say, but of like 2,000 books, all for like Kindle. And I kind of pick through that, and I'll read something, and I'll download something and put it on my Kindle or my phone, and I'll be like, this is the book I'm going to read next. But then when I get done with the book that I'm reading, I end up choosing something else. And same thing, I'll buy, like, even when I actually go out and buy a book and, like, download it onto my phone, I'm pretty sure I have not read any of them. And I have, like, I don't know, a dozen that I bought, and I don't know what it is. It's like... When it comes down to it, it's like, I got to start reading this book. I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd love to... Multiple, like, series books are really tough for me. Because I'm, like, in the middle of a couple that I got roped into without knowing. Like, I've read this one book, and I'm like, hey, this sounds like a really cool idea. And then I read it, and at the end, I'm like, wait. There's a huge cliffhanger. There's nothing... There's no page, no more pages left. And then it says there's... This is a trilogy, and I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I can understand that. I didn't start reading Harry Potter until The Deathly Hallows came out. So it was like there could have been spoilers for me, and somebody honestly did spoil one of the deaths right before I started Deathly Hallows. And it was like a few weeks before the movies came out, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm gonna
son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm just gonna murder this.
I probably jumped on your bandwagon of reading them when that came out, Aim. Because I feel like the same thing. Like I feel
did
like
you guys did you guys read watch the movies before you read the books? Or did you wait?
I watched all the movies up until Deathly Hallows before I read them. And then I read Deathly Hallows and then watched the movies.
I don't think I read any of the books or any of them. Blah. I don't think I watched any of the movies until I read all the books. Because I remember trying to get it down, like getting these books down and read so I could watch all these movies.
Yeah.
I probably have seen parts of it from my other friends watching it because Amy and I were like late bloomers to the Harry Potter party. Cause we made fun of Carrie.
Funnest party in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to point that story out.
Yeah, tell that story. That's
important. So back when we were working at GameStop.
I already heard the story, but you can say it again. Okay. Just go ahead. Say it. I want to hear it. No, I really do.
I want to hear it again.
I want the audience to hear it.
I haven't been scolded about it enough. I know that.
Yeah, me neither.
They need to be scolded.
Say it. I want to hear it.
It's true.
Whenever I first started dating Amy, her and Jen both came over to my stepdad's house, and in my room, on my DVD shelf, I had the first two Harry Potter movies in with my movie collection. And they probably teased me for a good, 10, 15 minutes about these movies. They're just like doing their girl giggling, you know what I mean?
Wizard.
They were saying stuff like that. And then, now they're basically waiting for their letter from Hogwarts to show up via Al.
It's true.
And I know how you said
movies after they made fun of me, Scott.
They what?
I sold the movies after they made fun of
me. He did. They were gone the next day.
That's what? Some serious Holy ribbing.
Suck. Wow, we suck. Yeah. Damn, we're mean girls.
We are mean.
That's stupid.
Just gave him the business.
Sold stuff fairly often to be. Like, I remember you getting a CD that I liked, and I was like, oh, that's cool, and then I think you sold it the next day.
I was like, it's gone.
Done.
I don't want you getting comfortable with CDs, thinking I like the same things.
Music is terrible.
I think that another difficulty will be because I've seen all the movies, and I've early on in my reading career, as dorky as that sounds, I decided that I can't, because I've done it where I've watched a movie and then read the book, and it was just like pulling teeth reading the book, because I knew, even if it's not the same, there's so many similar plot points that you're just like, let's just make it, like, I can't skim through a book, so it's just, I have to, like, read it, so it's, I hate to say it, but there's a very slim chance, unless I get super old and senile and forget everything, maybe I'll read it. It's possible.
The hard part for me when I'm, like, reading a book like that, too, is, like, if it gets to a boring part, I start to zone out, and then I end up having to reread that boring part because I'm like, all right, I was kind of not paying attention because that was so boring. Now I don't know what happened there.
Sometimes you just could skim by. I mean, yeah. I've done that where I'm like, oh, I just missed this whole page. Oh, well, goodbye.
Oh, well.
Never see you again.
The only times I had that happen with Harry Potter is, like, the first two chapters of every book. Because they reiterate the, like, Privet Drive so much. And it's like, he lives here and he lives under the stairs. And then he moved into a room.
His aunt and uncle hate him.
Yeah, and it's like, it's about the same thing every book. So it was like, well, he's getting, like, shit, eating shit every day at his home. Yeah, I've
pretty
much...
People under the stairs. That's like a horror movie based on Harry Potter's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No tongues.
There's fan fiction that talks about how he maybe never really did get out of the stairs, that he's, like, fantasizing just all this, and I'm like,
I'm a wizard!
That's probably the most terrible thing that I've ever heard, because how sad would it be to, like, fantasize all this stuff and then, nope, you're still under those stairs.
Missing last chapter.
Oh, that scar on his face is not from Voldemort.
Year-old Harry Potter playing with his wizard toys.
Yeah. Really long trip.
Sounds like Uncle Backhand.
Yeah.
He's asking where his parents are, and they're like, they died in a murder-suicide. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Something awful.
Oh, no, the wizard! The bad
wizard! Save me! And then he finally gets it, and then he, like, shoots himself or something. I don't know. It's awful. It would be awful.
Sweet release of death.
Sweet
really?
Oh. I don't know why that made me laugh.
No. I'm so sad now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's not real. Jesus. We're just
so it's not real.
Daniel Radcliffe really went out to hang Dong in a play immediately after this children's he's not Harry Potter, it's okay.
I already know this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Has anyone been to the Wizarding World?
What's that?
I didn't think you
Harry Potter at Universal.
I didn't think you'd have gone, Scott, because I figured I don't know.
You're not
that
know.
Big of a.
I'm not a. I've gone to Universal once, and it was in 2001 after 9/11.
Is everything pre and post 9/11 with you, Scott?
So wait, when was Die Hard filmed? Oh, pre 9/11. Okay.
Okay.
That's all I need to know.
Mindset back then.
Wait, maybe those terrorists got their idea from Die Hard.
I was carrying full tanks of gasoline on airplanes. I don't know why he needed them, but he was like, I gotta bring these cans of gas on him.
Got all these guns with blanks on them. Oh my god.
Die Hard.
Sorry, go ahead.
Amy and Carrie, you guys were there when it was there, or when it was being built? But you didn't go. Was it being built yet?
Universal. We just went to Disney.
Yeah, we just ended up at Disney.
Well, I meant Disney in general. Like, to me, it's just the whole, you know.
Yeah, well,
the Harry Potter thing is supposed to be pretty impressive. Like,
yeah.
they have Diagon Alley and
the Hogwarts Express takes you to different parts of the park.
And I heard that like there's parts where like your wand like you know does things in different parts of the areas and stuff like that. It like interacts.
Didn't know that.
Well, and you got the girls Pygmy Puffs, and if you buy them at the studio, they actually do a naming ceremony for them.
Oh.
I know. I was like, well, now we ruined that, because
we'll just burn those ones.
Yeah. And there's like...
You have a soul, because you have not been named via Disney Parks or your personal park.
We don't recognize you as a person. We
recognize you as an entity of this planet.
And then I do believe that they have wand ceremonies too, where they help you pick a wand that's like chooses you.
Oh man.
Yeah, I've done my research on that. I would love to go, but
Carrie's cat cracking the whip.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen ever in your life.
I never said any of these things.
Because I'm the boss.
None of this has occurred.
So
because we defiled his DVDs, whatever.
Yeah.
He will forever hold a grudge.
Never forget!
10 years ago.
That's the 9/11 thing, then. Never forget!
Carrie, too soon. 9/11 jokes? Come on. What are we, in a post-9/11 world? I don't know where we are. Too much. I don't know. I haven't really gone. I've gone to Universal once. It's just, I don't know. It's awful going with children. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that, but it's literally the worst thing. You do nothing but chauffeur children around.
Yeah.
And you don't ride rides.
But poor Daddy, I don't want to wait in this line. I thought the pot was on the ground. I was going to eat it. Is that cool?
Urinating themselves constantly. And Chloe, you've been potty trained for 3 years. Why are you peeing right now?
I'm so excited.
I can. Amy and I are going without children one day.
Yeah.
One goddamn day we're going without our kids.
Carrie with his squinty eyes watching your children. That's what's going to happen. Any little pot eyes.
We'll leave them with Justin and Carrie and come back and our kids will have mullets like our husband. Oh.
Everybody's moves so slow.
Yeah. Whenever I went to Universal pre 9/11, and it was probably like 1990.
No, you don't need to say anymore. That's a good frame of reference.
Yeah, okay. Well, well, let's just tell you the to date it. They had the Waterworld attraction there, so like, if that helps you date it, like that was
it sank into the ocean. Then they had to rebuild it.
Yeah.
It's an atoll. Well, that's fun. Did you ride it? Was it fun?
No, it wasn't an actual ride. They just had the freaking boat sitting there, like, in the water. Yeah, it was weird.
The weird boat with his, like...
Yeah, his urine drinker.
Yeah, okay. Come drink. Did it really have it? Did you see
the I don't know. I don't remember. We don't have any pictures from our trip because my mom's camera didn't work. We have one picture where we're all in King Kong's hand. And, like, it's real big, and he's, like, holding all of us and everything, and that's the only picture we have from our vacation.
Aww. So, what happened? Why did we lose that?
My mom bought a camera on the trip, and it didn't catch the film.
Stupid.
So, yeah, so, no picture.
I had a camera. I bought, like, 3 waterproof cameras for my honeymoon, and they all got water in them.
Oh, not you're one. Kidding.
Yeah, it was
that's like,
I didn't go deep. I was like 5.
I didn't go deep. Like, meanwhile, the cameras. Meanwhile, the cameras.
The water,
but every single one had to go into the water.
Scott's like, I gotta be shooting in the water. Come on.
I'm not going to use this ever outside of water.
No, I mean, I'm going to take pictures. I mean, I'm going to run it under the sink, even if we're in the house, before I use it, because that's what it's for!
Defeat the purpose. It's on principle now, just doing this.
No, I'm going to be taking pictures. I want you to run up and throw water in my face while it's happening.
Shoot the squirt gun into my eyes. It's good. It's okay. It's waterproof. Oh, they're ruined. Damn it. That's how it is. But so don't ever buy a disposable waterproof camera because apparently they're useless.
I want to make mention, you know, it's not a Harry Potter topic, but, you know, since this is basically our first, you know, via separate locations podcast video that we've done. And I'd like to comment on, first of all, Scott's going to get in his onesie after, well, I was going to, you know, address the hat also, but I'm pretty sure Scott's going to get into a onesie and climb into bed immediately after the podcast.
I wish I had a onesie.
So sleepy.
My feet are cold.
And I have to point out that Amy has a terrific Transformer collection.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was at the...
The leather couch.
The picture in the background's weird. Just saying.
Yeah, it is.
Weirded out by it. It looks like...
How well you can see it.
It's like there's tentacles and there's a tree. It could be a tree or tentacles.
As you can see, I'm in my Hagrid shack behind the school.
Which you could consider the... that to be, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a little molester shed.
That's molester shed, oh my god.
You got the air conditioner down there with you.
Cool. Carry a book.
That's nice looking. It's nice.
I like that.
Square. Is that your man cave? That you have your
12-inch. This is actually the behind the counter at the store.
Oh, okay. That's what everybody sees, huh?
Well, they actually really don't see this.
Oh, okay. Well, when you say behind the counter, I think...
Like the store is
a level...
That way.
Okay. Well, that's a good shot that you just gave us.
Like it's dark and here, but
not creepy at all.
No.
No. It's a little disturbing.
Come on in.
But I was... I was... You want some magic?
Come on, you want some magic? Come on down. It's a place that's got warp zone on the sign.
Well, how about this? How about... you know, a lot of the characters, I guess, except for Ron, went off to make other movies.
Amy was hoping that he was going to become the next Doctor for Doctor Who, but
he's way too big for that. I'm sorry.
Is he really the only?
I mean, not that Horns is. Like,
She wants Ron to because there's a running joke in Doctor Who that he wants to be a ginger when he respawns. So like,
but he hasn't been a ginger ever.
Yeah, he wanted to be. The reason that the different people play Doctor Who is because when he responds, when he's killed, he regenerates as a different person.
So at the end of every series, he dies.
Essentially,
Okay.
They don't always show it.
Like, the new reboot was number 9, the first one, and he was there for a whole season. Then second season started, and it was David Tennant, and he was there for, I think, 3 seasons. And then after that was Matt Smith. He was 11. And he was there for also, I do believe, 3 seasons. And then now it's 12. And I just can't remember his name right now. He hasn't been our favorite. I have to say that. So, and I'm saying ours has been Carrie.
In one series, he's been reincarnated 12 times.
Yes. 12 times, yes.
So is that happen? Is that like a common occurrence in all the series of it? Like, even that's back the, in the
that's
beginning,
the
like, they...
That's the start. Yeah. So, like, okay, so 1 through 8 was the original series, and then it had a hiatus, I guess you would consider it. It was canceled for a while, and then they brought it back, and that's when 9 started. So, if that makes sense. And then, but there's actually been 13, because there's one that they didn't call the Doctor, because essentially he killed all his people.
Yes. There was one that he's only in, like, is he in, like, 2 episodes, Amy, you think?
I think 2 episodes, yeah. William Hurt.
William Hurt plays him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, he essentially has to make the decision to...
wipe out a whole, like, race of people.
Yeah. It's either that or...
the whole world, like, the whole universe or galaxy or whatever, you know, everything.
Everything would just die. Because this war has gone on forever, so.
Serious. These are the hard choices. These are the hard decisions that we have to make.
I don't even remember how everybody. How did we get to Doctor Who? I don't even remember.
He was going
to
be, they were going to have Ron. And what's a ginger? Yeah. What's a ginger?
You were the one that brought it up.
I was. What's a ginger? What does that mean?
Redhead.
Ginger means.
What?
I never heard that.
You've never heard ginger
British.
Before?
That's a British.
It's not British.
That's Cockney slang.
It's not British. Like, you're going to get razzed about this one, Scott, because there's there's 1,000 things online every 10 seconds. That you...
There's South Park.
It seems very
South Park has made jokes about it.
Is it a reference to...
it's red-haired, pale people.
What's that show? Isn't there a ginger and a Marianne? Is that what they're referencing?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But does she have red hair?
Google it.
She had slightly red hair.
Google it.
You're
just casting wild speculation all over the place here.
I have to close out my Waterworld Wikipedia. What was the name of that the show though? Gilligan's Island.
I was saying to Google ginger in general, since you think it's like, you know, British.
Even I know what it is, Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Even Jen Watson knew.
Yeah.
You guys are all just the worst people ever.
Man, Amy, you get some websites that are really bright, and then, like, it goes back to normal, and then it's like, flash a light across your face.
Like, right now.
Now it's really bright?
Yeah.
Ghost.
It's because she's flipping.
Whoa, ghost face! Ghost face Gilla!
Who is the person that's named Ginger?
Chris. That's like
how. Why don't they have a casting list here? Like, what? I guess everybody's just supposed to know Gilligan's Island's cast.
She was a redhead, Scott. I was just more telling you to search Ginger.
I'm gonna search your mom.
Search Ginger Jean. Oh, Jesus.
Inappropriate.
Ginger memes.
Wait, here we go. Tina Louise.
That's for
all black and white pictures.
Bob Sparks.
Horribly inappropriate.
Oh.
Wait,
isn't Tina Louise? Isn't that Tina's name on Bob's Burgers?
Maybe.
There's Tina and Louise.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're two.
two different people.
Two different ladies. So, well, what? Nobody really answered my question. So, what? I guess you kind of did, Amy. But is there any like particular movies that you like that came out after Harry Potter with the stars in it that you liked, that you actually watched?
I watched Horns, or I started it, and I couldn't make it very far. It was.
It seems really weird.
It's pretty disturbing, honestly.
I'm not gonna watch it. I read the book.
You read the book?
And I'll just tell you. I was thinking. Well, here was my idea. I was like, oh, I'm gonna read the book, and then I'll watch the movie, and we'll see how that goes. About three quarters of the way through the book, it comes to a very emotional climax.
Okay.
And I literally could not read the pages because there were so many tears shooting out of my eyes, and I'm like gasping. And I was like, there's no way this movie could possibly compare to this book. I'm really? Not gonna watch it.
I didn't expect it to be emotional because, like, the parts, scary. Like, in the beginning of the movie weren't very emotional. Like, he's peeing on, like, the altar. Yeah, and then he's, like, whenever he's near people, they, like, do terrible things and say terrible things, and, like...
That is the beginning. The first part of the book, you get, a glimpse into, you know, the first, when he wakes up with the horns. And,
yes.
It's such a sad. I don't think they don't go with the same tone as the book. But
okay.
In the book, there's nothing funny. But they try to ramp up the comedy with the
to get people to watch. Yeah.
And it's really sad because it's like a paranoid's worst nightmare because everybody hates him.
Yeah.
You know, he's just because everybody tells him their deepest darkest secrets, and basically everybody's deepest darkest secrets is that they hate him.
Yeah.
And it's his parents, his, you know, his grandmother, and just it goes all the way back into when he was a child and he met this girl. That's what really brings on all the emotional, but it's a very intense book, and I would suggest anybody read it and do not watch the movie because I can guarantee you right now it's not going to compare, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Yeah.
And it will leave you. I don't know. I wasn't right for a week after. It is just every possible, and there's so many different things. First you're like, oh no, did he do it? And then oh no, his girlfriend didn't love him and he loved her so much. And then you're just constantly so sad.
Yeah.
The entire time. And then when this part comes, you're just, it's so emotional, and the way they structured the entire book is just so well done because it just comes up and you're just like, I have no control over my body.
I am crying and pooping.
It's like midnight and I'm trying to finish this book and my wife is asleep on the bed. I'm like horizontal on the bed and everybody else is sleeping and I'm just like... and it's just it's a very good book, and so everybody should read that book. So I will not be watching the movie just because it makes me upset.
Yeah,
but
whatever you're doing right now is making a lot of noise on your microphone.
I'm sorry.
A lot too. It was a little awkward. I am so excited
right
for this book right now.
Damn.
Oh man, not that excited, Scott.
Harry, so, I was not sexually excited about this book, but go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought maybe each of us could pick a part that stands out to us that would be a part that, you know, comes to mind for them when they think of the Harry Potter franchise.
Well, we didn't finish Scott's question.
Yeah, it's true, you jackass.
So
Amy went with Horns, but she only watched a quarter of it. How about you, Kate? Have you watched any of Hermione's?
I was going to say we watched This Is the End?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a pretty ridiculous sequence where they're, like, having an argument outside of the door, and they're, like, so we're going to rape her? And, no, we're not going to rape her! And, like, you know, they're having this, I believe, is it, I can't ever think of his name. The guy who's down and down.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Kenny Powers?
Danny McBride.
I believe he might have been the one in the, like, you know, in the middle of this debate. It's been a while.
Elephant in the room.
Yeah. Is that what he says, Scott?
I think he does. He's the elephant in the room. We here to rape.
So she just kind of overhears them talking and hears the word rape and, you know, I'm arguing and stuff like that. And, you know, comes out with a shotgun, I do believe. Isn't that what
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, good times. Talking. Yeah. So that's your favorite appearance of Harry Potter.
The only thing that stands out to me is, like, we watched a movie, what was it, Lady in Black or something like that?
Woman in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay.
I think it had some pretty scary, like, that was going to be mine.
It was definitely really creepy, but it just was, it was like, whatever. I mean, it wasn't memorable for me.
There were some logic jumps that I was like, so how did we decide that we need to reunite the dead boy's body with the ghost?
Yeah.
Where did you come up with that? I don't know. He's like, no, we gotta dig it up.
we gotta get it in the house.
Post it a little bit around town.
I'm gonna put a lollipop in its hand.
It's gonna be wonderful. We're gonna put it on a. It's gonna be a whole weekend at Bernie's day.
We're gonna make him dance. He's gonna get a lot of shots.
Make them dance.
He's gonna get a lot of shots in the nuts, but it's okay because he's dead. And so that was my, but like some of the scary parts were like super scary. I just thought they were okay.
Best part is the arm. Come on, Weekend at Bernie's is wonderful.
It is wonderful. I don't think I've actually.
They're all so excited to have him waving.
I do have to say that I did watch a movie with Dolores Umbridge in it later on, and she was not a bad character in it, but I absolutely hate her so much from Dolores Umbridge that I couldn't handle it. Like, she was not a terrible person in the movie.
Fire at some point.
Yeah.
Which one is she?
She's the Lady in Pink.
Yeah, the Lady in Pink. She has the kitten plates. She makes Harry write, I will not tell a lie until it's, like, scarred on his skin.
Oh, my.
Yeah. She's evil. She's a terrible person, and she did a great job. Like, she's
Was she magic dark arts teacher? What was she?
Yes. Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
Well, that was Order of the Phoenix, wasn't it, when she came in?
Yes, that's right, because that's the movie I hate the most, because not only is she in it, Sirius dies. So, it's the worst.
I would just like to say I had some knowledge about Harry Potter that you guys didn't remember, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
I thought she was the dark arts teacher.
Yeah.
Just maybe I'll throw in a second. I don't know.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. It's too late, Scott.
Okay, well, I'm going to state what I thought was the obvious about Cedric Diggory. Wait, what the hell is his lot? Cedric Diggory.
Man.
Playing Twilight in Twilight, the main fucking vampire.
The main fucking sparkly fellow.
Sexiest, sparkliest.
Dazzling.
He also says that he would rather be Cedric Diggory any day than to be Twilight, so that's a plus.
Twilight.
Yeah. Twilight. I don't know what his name is in Twilight, so...
Edward, there we go. It was escaping me.
He's Twilight.
He's Twilight.
Amy also refers to Bruce Willis as Die Hard.
Yep, Die Hard. Die Hard. Stepping on the glass.
I think it's the an episode of Family Guy where they complain about him writing letters not to the actors but directly to the movie, like "Dear Die Hard." Like he's like complaining about something, and then he's like, "Yeah, you know that part that was cool." Like he's not writing it to any person. He's like, "Dear Die Hard."
To whom Die Hard may concern. I don't know. I can't think of anything right now that like epitomizes. I don't know.
I have a part. If you're jumping to my topic, Scott, do you want me to reintroduce it, or do you want to cut it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought we could all kind of like pick a part that like that's the you know a part that stands out for us as something we enjoyed from you know the Harry Potter series. Like Scott and I have only watched the movies, so I mean that's where our selections would be from. But I mean, feel free if you guys want to not pick from the movies, you can pick from the books. You know, even though we
nerd it up.
The one that that I like is you know is a comedic part. I enjoy when. What is the freaking uncle's name? Because I hate referring to somebody generically. Like, do you remember what the or what do they refer to him as? Or
his last name's Dursley. I don't know. Vernon?
Is it Vernon?
I do believe so.
But I just love when Harry starts getting his invitations from Hogwarts and he's trying to keep them from him and they just keep coming through. And then, like, I love it when he's just sitting in the living room just pleased with himself. He's like, wonderful day, Sunday. He's like, do I like Sunday so much? And the kid's like, because there's no post on Sunday. That's right, no post on Sunday. He's just like, maniacal at that point. Like, he's just like, get these fucking letters out of here. Like, he's at his breaking point. And then all of a sudden, they just start, like, shooting through the door and stuff like that. But, like, I just love for me, like, that he's at his, like, breaking point. Like, I love Sunday. Cause, you know, these letters aren't showing up on Sunday.
That's awesome. They've made them, like, just the worst people in the entire world. My goodness.
I love what they represent the sun later on as, like, the like, Eminem-loving-looking thug kid. You know what I mean? Like, he's got, like, this, like, super gangster. Like, I'm wearing this big gold chain in my, you know, like, he just.
Everybody loves Eminem, man.
Yeah.
I have to say, probably a lot, most of the first movie, I don't know, because it was such, there's so much to reveal in the first movie, as far as, you know, the dining room with all the candles and the train and the, you know, just, you know, the part with the troll. Is it a troll?
Mm-hmm.
In the bathroom. Just like, there's so much to reveal, and the first Quidditch game, it was just, there's so much to reveal, and so it was kind of like after that, in the next movies, whenever they'd go to a Quidditch game or go to something like that, it's like, it's still not as good as the first time when we first got to see it.
I think the Quidditch games are the only parts of the CG that bother me, Scott. I think that's when it looks the worst. I think other than, like, you know, the Quidditch games, I can handle most of the other CG.
Because they do the people.
The people just look so.
They don't react. They don't move correctly.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's only certain parts. I mean, it's not the whole Quidditch game. It's just the part where it's just like, Harry's flipping around too much to have a real person doing this. It looks so fake. It's like, all of a sudden there's a PlayStation game in the middle of this.
It's really cartoony. Yeah. Like the way they act and move and jostle.
The first movie, I think, has the worst acting, too, because the kids are so young, and they just don't have any idea, really, what to do.
Generic. Like, it's not really a lot of personality to each kid. There's a little bit, but, like, they're just kind of young, and, you know,
Yeah, not really knowing, like, it was probably almost all of their first acting jobs. And I do believe it was, except for Draco, who was, like, he was in a ton of stuff, honestly, before that. He was, like, in The Borrowers and a few other things. And so he had some acting skills. And he, honestly, probably was the best actor for the first one. But the rest of them are, like, they're looking, like, every which way. And, like, yeah, like, they're just... They say their lines like, I'm saying it like this, you know?
You have some dirt on your nose.
Yeah, so. And so.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's, I think that it takes me, it's hard for me to, like, get really into the first one still because of how they're just so different from the rest of them.
Actually, I don't know. I think that just it being the first of everything was really nice.
Yeah, it's neat to see all that stuff for the first time, so.
And it's just not the same. Like, you don't have that kind of reveal again.
Yeah.
There's never going to be as much to reveal either. I mean, they're getting, you know, there's things to reveal, but, I mean, the whole thing's a reveal, essentially. Like, every new mystical thing, the stairs moving, the paintings being alive with ghosts. Getting to the train via walking through the wall. I mean, getting your wand, finding that inheritance. I mean, it's the origin story, and it's you're bombarded with first experiences.
I think that's because they had so much like content, and they could really like pick and choose what kind of awesome things they could show. And I think that's what's missing from a lot of origin stories. And I think in if you have to do an origin story, like, you really got to do it. You got to, like, that's probably going to be the hardest one to do of all. Like, if you're starting a series, like I have to do an origin story.
It's easy for an origin to be boring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, because it's keeping that pacing, too, because it's easy to have so much preamble to something that it's just like, oh, come on, have some plot happen now.
Yeah. But
the way, like, when you do it with reveals and, like, new wonderful things, I mean, that's keeping the people interested.
Yeah, and they still manage to have a nice little mystery, and then, but also have all these really cool set pieces that were just like a lot of really good ideas. I don't know. I thought it was, if you ask, you say Harry Potter, I immediately think the first movie, because I think that was what I was most impressed by. Just from, and I love Chris Columbus for the most part. Not like stepmom or anything like that, but. Nobody saw that movie? Okay. It wasn't good. Don't see it. I think he did it, though. But how about you, Jen? I think you're the only one that has an answer.
Man, this is so hard. I'm with you with all the firsts, but like Amy said, it's from the first movie to the second movie, the progress of the characters and everything, it... Oh, man. And then I keep going back to the Prisoner of Azkaban because it's my fave. I like it when they receive their mail when they're sitting in the dining room. And then the one that always sticks out to me is whenever Ron gets his screeching letter from his mom when they took the car because Dobby wouldn't let them on the platform. That's one that sticks out to me, too. I don't know. There's so much.
Who's clicking something? Okay, it's
not. I bet it was Amy.
Nobody has to admit to it.
You're clicking.
Clicked.
It just,
click.
It's just on the audio the whole time if there's noises.
If it was me, it was just a body part, so...
What?
I don't have anything to click.
It was clicking, like, somebody was, like... It was, like, almost like a pen clicking noise, almost, even.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I think I can move on. I did find... So, I guess I'm gonna try and do this as a new segment, where I go and I just try to find haters of whatever thing we're talking about. So I was kind of perusing, and most likely I felt the easiest place to find something was on Amazon. I guess I could have just Googled, Harry Potter haters, and I would have got plenty. But I did it the hard way, and I looked through all the one-star ratings And aside from all the span the problems with the Spanish translation, there are some people that really didn't like the series. Here's one. This person is Wu Wei, and the title of it of the review is "Rowling Corrupted Her Own Creation." And so it seems like I'm gonna kind of paraphrase because it's pretty long in the beginning, but he kind of lists out the reasons that they're she corrupted it, I guess. I don't know. But he doesn't like her, the message behind Harry Potter, which I don't know. I didn't know there was really a strong message about society, but he says there was.
Wizards and Muggles is like, the, you know, that's an age-old war. The hate that runs deep.
Who are the Muggles? That's what I... What's
human
the
human people. Anybody that's not magical.
Mixed race? I don't know.
Those are mudbloods.
Mudbloods.
Right. Okay,
dirty mudblood. So much wizard racism.
There is.
So, okay, can we hold, please?
Yes,
I never really understood the mudblood part because Hermione's parents weren't wizards.
I thought one was, one wasn't. That's why.
No, neither of them were.
No, they're not. Yeah, that's
so.
Right.
How did Hermione get to be a witch? I don't.
Because
I don't know.
Maybe it's just like if you have the ability, but your ancestor, like your previous generation, didn't, or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It would be kind of like if Harry's aunt and uncle had, you know, another kid, and it had, you know, wizard ability.
Right. Okay. Okay. Sorry, Scott, to interrupt.
No, no problem, no problem. I'll, let me see here. So, I don't, it's not really well written, so I'm just going to kind of go into it. So, after talking about how it seems like she's making a comment on society, he says, "Everyone wants to read about students at Hogwarts. How does Rowling cheat us out of that? Number one, all authority figures are bad. Any school... story must include students being taught by teachers. Rowling refuses to allow that to happen because her attitude toward authority figures. Each teacher and authority figure in Potter's world is either incompetent, corrupt, evil, or for some reason unable to help the students."
So, I'm going to go ahead and take a, you know, go out on a limb here and guess this person's an educator.
I don't know. They're obviously Asian of some kind. Wu Wei.
I'm an Asian teacher. Chicago, and I don't like anti-educator theme that you guys have running in this Harry Potter movie.
Hope you're not influencing these people to homeschool, because that's just evil. Number two, rules are made to be broken. That sounds... Isn't that a hairband song? It sounds like a hairband song. So... Neither the children nor the faculty respect the rules of the school. Punishments are arbitrary, and rule breaking is even rewarded. Okay, so this makes Hogwarts seem less like a school and than a hotel where Harry meets his magical peers. What? Why does it have to be a hotel? Number three, abuse, violence, and torture. The books are loaded with abuse, violence, and torture, including cruelty to animals and children. No one in these books seem to care. Characters like Harry Potter respond to their own cruelty, and no one cares. The abuse begins in the first book and steadily worsens throughout the series. Oh, man.
Especially to Harry Potter. Yeah. I'll tell you what you like.
And this one I thought was kind of weird. Number four, there are no heroes. Rowling goes beyond corruption of authority figures. Her rule is there can be no good people at all, no heroes. Everyone must be cut down and leveled. I don't know what that means. No one in the Potter books seemed to have a moral code. Harry loves to lie, read other people's correspondence. What is this? Like, it's like, this wasn't written for two-year-olds.
You know,
I can't
what?
Believe it.
When you have an adventure, you follow the fucking rules. I don't want to see you breaking rules on any of these adventures.
Yeah.
I don't want you lying. I don't care if it does save your friend's life. You cannot do it. It's wrong. So says this two-year-old book. Concepts like self-sacrifice surface from time to time, but there's no follow-through. The end result of all this is grim, a grim world in which there's mechanical magic, but nothing truly good. There's no idealism in the Harry Potter's world. There's no duty, no honor, no family, no self-sacrifice, no wise teachers, and no experts. That's in the, Harry's world,
there's... really spent a lot of time doing this.
I know. They put a lot of thought into putting on the haters.
I want one to just be like, this is farts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want the next one to be of that caliber.
Okay. I think I might have another one. I don't know what it is, but here, let me just say the title. One star review, and it in all caps, racist.
I like that one.
Muggles? Mudbloods? House elves? Racism.
I think we all know what they're talking about. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. So I suppose the point of this book is that people who wear turbans are evil.
First one's got a turban.
There are no minds.
Because otherwise, you're gonna have a big freaking Voldemort head on the back of you.
Yeah.
You're gonna notice.
Everybody's gonna be a little upset.
Face, like, oh no, I parted my hair different. I don't think it looks right.
Doesn't look. It's just. It's part of my religion.
That's like an awkward-looking face on the back of your head.
That was, I forgot about that guy.
He's like, yeah, I'm just, that's like my twin that never formed.
I'm going to absorb him anytime now. There are no minorities in this book, and Harry the white boy, Potter, saves the day. This book is racist and should be condemned, but no people read it, and only... And the only girl in the story is portrayed as a nerdy bookworm sidekick, butt kisser, real good portrayal of women. Wasn't it written by a woman? ? This book is stupid and racist. Don't buy it. Oh, and there's a bunch of comments on it. This
even
person.
Even Ginny dates a black kid.
Yeah, and the
Dean
show
Thomas.
Girl.
Yeah, like, and then there's two, the girl that Ron takes to the dance, and I do believe Harry might take the other girl. They were twins, and
oh yeah, they were Indian.
Yeah. So like, I don't know what this person's reading because
he's just so excited.
And in the first like two or three movies, Lavender Brown is black, and then she changes to white. So there's that.
Yeah, I think he definitely should have said something about that.
Yes. So there's that. Like, that might be a little different, but whatever.
I think this person...
blasting your face with light, Amy.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Ghostface.
Yep.
Ghostface. Cool. He's by far the worst rapper of the Wu-Tang Clan. He's the worst.
What about Old Dirty Bastards, Scott?
I don't know. I can get down with some Old Dirty Bastards.
I couldn't identify anything.
Wu-Tang, I don't know, I don't really like Raekwon either, but I'm getting too deep into Wu-Tang talk, but,
do you guys have anything to say about anything, like upcoming projects that are Harry Potter relevant? I know there's...
Oh, yeah, there's a new short.
Name you guys checked out a little bit, maybe, or is there, like, a new production in the works or something that you want to reference?
Amy would know before me.
There's the... I do believe that they're making one about Professor Flamel. Is that his name? The one that created the Sorcerer's Stone? Is that... I can't remember his name.
Fleming, maybe?
Yeah. And I... Yeah, it just... Oh. And then I do believe that they're doing the book... making a movie about the book, it's not the plant book, is it?
The Beast one.
Yeah, the Beast one.
The Beast?
Oh, Mythical Creatures.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a book, or?
They're supposed to be movies, I do believe.
Really?
Are they going to make a casual vacancy? Do you guys read any of the other her books? Like Casual Vacancy and that one that she said she did under her pseudonym?
No, I didn't read that one. I got Jen Beadle the Bard. The tales, but they're just, you know what I mean, like, supposed to be, like, sort
they're
of...
shorts, right?
Yeah, shorts, and they're, like, fairy tales sort of thing. They're not really...
They're not, like, in the universe. They're just...
They are. That's where the Deathly Hallows comes from, because it's the story about Death finding the three brothers and essentially granting the wishes. That's in that book.
You know, that's probably one of my favorite themes to the,
yeah,
the storyline is the Deathly Hallows stuff.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I love that, like, Dumbledore essentially had them all, but he couldn't put it together for Harry. You know what I mean? Like, he had some bad things, too, but, like, he really did try to save Harry to, you know, like, I think almost because he couldn't save his sister back then. You guys know about that storyline, right?
The like Dumbledore's sister?
Yeah.
I think I remember
They talk about it some. I don't believe that in the movies they really describe what happened. But, you know.
And his brother hates him for it, right?
Yes, Aberforth.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's why he hates him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So, there's actually a fan movie that somebody made, and it's the whole thing that happens at the beach, and while it's silly because it's a fan movie, it was actually really good at clearing some of the stuff up, I feel like, because I feel like the movies didn't touch on it enough, like the whole Grindelwald and Dumbledore showdown sort of thing. Essentially Grindelwald and Dumbledore were against Muggles and were against Mudbloods and all that stuff, so they were... He was pretty bad guy until essentially his sister died.
So. What is that? What's the Mudbud is like a half breed wizard. A muggle.
A muggle is somebody that doesn't have magic. Mudblood, somebody that has magic but was not born from it.
Yeah, or they could be like part magic, like where Hagrid is part giant, part wizard.
Yeah.
So, like, he's got, you know...
You don't
but,
really
like,
see him doing magic, though.
He's not allowed
from
that. He does a little bit here and there. Like, yeah. They'll even say, like, don't tell him I did that or something.
His wand is actually in his... It's umbrella. It's in his umbrella. So, like, you'll see him point his umbrella at stuff, and it doesn't work out very well because he got kicked out. Like, he didn't really get to learn magic. So, but, same with, Filch, is that the caretaker or is there, it's Filch, right?
The janitor guy?
Yes. He came from a wizard family, but he has no powers.
That's why he's so cranky.
Yeah. So like they gave him a job there to sort of, you know, like. Make him feel wanted, I guess.
Pacify him.
Yeah, but like, he has no powers whatsoever.
That's crazy. Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, so you could come from a magic family and still not... I mean, is somebody in there with you?
You're SOL.
Somebody's coming to stab
you. The woman in black is in there with him. So is Daniel Radcliffe.
With his creepy eyes.
His son.
He wants some magic, buddy.
He's got the dead son in his hands. He's going to bring him to her. Are you scared, Carrie? He's coming down. Thank you guys for doing this wonderful Harry Potter podcast with us, Jan and Amy, and Carrie, as always, with your weird, ridiculous Dumbledore hat.
Gryffindor!
Be sure to check us out on warpzoneonline.com and also on our Facebook, which is also facebook.com/warpzoneonline. And then we also on iTunes, which you can find on Facebook or on our website or on just searching out iTunes for crying out loud. And, you know, feel free to comment and stuff like that. And, you know, we'll publish this. We're going to try and do more video stuff in the future, probably like this, because we're just so far away from each other. And that's the sad part. But we still love each other. Have a good day, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks for having us.
The Empire strikes back with multiple laser attack, Decepticon infiltration, stealing information, tapping communications with Recordicons, target masses, sound wave stereo. I don't believe in a no-win scenario for an epic adventure, no retreat, no surrender. Cleaning up the city with Mayor Mike Hagar, clashing with the Foot Clan in the shadows of the streetlights, spotlights, bright lights. And if you've got a new pet, don't feed him after midnight. Cruising on our bicycles, we never say die. From the attic to the basement, uncovering the secrets with the power bracelet. Ryu and Ken style, kicking it on the 88 miles per hour, we out of time. Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.